Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The fantasy football season has come to an end, but this is the perfect time to take your sports viewing experience to the next level. Epson just hooked your boy up with this new Epic Vision Ultra LS800 laser projector, including their optional 120-inch Silver Flex screen. And I'm telling you right now, this is an absolute game changer. With an Epic 120-inch picture, it's twice the size of an 85-inch TV. I should know I had one of those in my old setup, and y'all know I love scouting prospects for the NFL draft. And with that 4K Pro UHD picture this big, it can take the way that I evaluate prospect game film to a level never seen before. To learn more, visit Epson.com/wakeup. Again, that's EPSON.com/wakeup. And like Epson says, bring the sportsbook experience home.
Yo, what's going on? This is Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Eugene. I'm here. We got Ike as the other host. He's here. You know, let's get it going. Let's not waste no more time for this episode
58.
Yes, sir. Ike, what's good? What's going on?
Man. Super Bowl. Super Bowl is a couple weeks away, about 11 days away. So this is kind of what we expected, right? I mean, both these teams, Eagles and Chiefs, they were the best two teams in their respective conferences all year, and they made the Super Bowl. So I don't think anybody's surprised or shocked or anything like that. So should be a really good game. Should be a really good game.
Yeah, it should. I know we've been dealing with the ice, the random ice in Dallas, Texas. So been cooped up. New people don't like going nowhere when ice is on the ground. But surprisingly, the roads weren't that bad. So they had to drive to go. My mom was having some phone issues, so I had to go drive to her office to handle that. But it's interesting seeing some of these cars that have been abandoned because they couldn't drive the day before. It's always interesting.
In Texas, they're never prepared for these things, right? It's always... the forecast and the meteorologists always say, hey, ice storm, winter storm warning, winter storm watch, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh, okay, cool. And then the ice falls and the snow falls and then the roads freeze over. And then they're like, oh, shit, it's icing. It's freezing. We can't really drive.
Yeah.
Help. And it's like you had all this information available to you days in advance. You should have made plans days in advance. Now I understand everybody has, different things going on in their lives. But I mean, that's the thing about Texas, though. They're always reactive instead of proactive when it comes to these things. So it baffles me every single time that people pretend to be shocked that, oh, there's ice on the ground. We can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's either that or for instance, my mom had to drive yesterday when it was bad. And she was just like, yeah, there's no sand on the ground.
They sand the ground after
bro.
Things happen. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Bro, she was like, so did you ever see the video of the people that were on the bridge that kind of goes front facing the Omni hotel where you can see if it's lit up?
They were coming from the south side.
And you saw people pushing cars. So where my mom lives, she has to take that road to get there. And she wasn't at that time. Hers was happening. she had to drive during the evening time. So she was there on the bridge, like during nighttime, you know, when it starts getting really cold. And she said, man, she was just there spinning for like 30 minutes and finally just somehow just like unspun out from the messed up area that she was at. And she was able to get to where she was going. But just, again, unprepared about like anything that's going on, as if like you said, the meteorologist didn't tell us like, hey, this is coming. Let's get some sand or salt or something out here. And just is nothing. Like, it's just ice.
Yeah, just ice. People just skidding, sliding, and skidding and sliding. And it's just,
yeah,
it amazes me every time, man.
It is. It is very amazing. But, you know, like we said, we're coming on to the Super Bowl weekend next week. But we got to recap what we saw this previous week in terms of the conference championship games. Let's start with the first one, the Eagles and 49ers. It was a sad sight to see pretty much after that first quarter, because, you know, Purdy got hurt and then they had to put Josh Johnson. He looked shell-shocked. And by halftime, you know, when they came out in the second half, he got knocked out and Purdy had to come back in, and he was just pretty much a guy that was like armless, basically just didn't throw the ball at all. They were just trying to trick play to try to fool the Eagles in terms of trying to manufacture yards. Just didn't work. And, you know, another easy win for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts didn't have to do much.
Yeah, it was Brock Purdy got hurt on the sixth or seventh play of the offensive play for the 49ers. So it was early, pretty. It was over pretty early. It was over pretty early. The fact that it was 7-7 at one point was amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, the Eagles' offense wasn't really that impressive. They weren't really that impressive. I think they had under 300 total yards.
Yep.
Under 300 total yards. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith had less than 40 yards receiving. You know, Jalen Hurts only had 122 yards passing. You know, the run game, they went for like over 135, 140 yards. So the running game was okay. But as what we're normally accustomed to seeing from this Eagles offense, that was, I mean, kudos to the 49ers holding on for as long as they did. But they still, I mean, the Eagles offense did not look that impressive overall. But so we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl. We'll dive more into that matchup when we the week of the Super Bowl when we do our next show. But yeah, those are a couple of things that stood out to me. I didn't think the Eagles offense was that great.
No, they weren't. They didn't. Hurts hasn't looked good either one of these playoff games so far. But he's also haven't had to do much either. So
pretty easy road for the Eagles, to be honest. But on the other side of that, they put themselves in this position by being the best team in the NFC all year.
Yep.
Getting the number one seed, getting home field advantage, and whoever comes to play you, and you know, you just take advantage of those opportunities. So kudos to them.
Yeah. I don't like people, you know, hating, oh, this is the easiest road ever, this and the blah, blah, blah. Like you said, they put the work in during the season to be blessed with this position. It's not their fault that the Giants were just didn't have enough men, and the 49ers, the quarterbacks, got hurt. So it's blessings.
Luck favors the prepared, as you know, the saying goes. So that's basically the Eagles to a T.
And one thing that was really evident at the beginning of the game that I thought was pretty wild is that Hassan Reddick, how they were, you know, chip blocking him with a tight end, or just straight up blocking with the backup tight end. I mean, obviously we saw the play that happened that caused Purdy to, what we know is now is a Tommy John surgery. He's going to have to be needed on that elbow. But I mean, if you look throughout that game, both sides of the ball, their O-line and D-line bullied the 49ers. I mean, pretty much throughout that whole game. Like, I know you saw the video of Kelce just throwing what defensive lineman was that? Like, it was him. Like, he just came in. Like, I want to say it was the guard that was kind of blocking, and Lane came in and just like one arm shoved his ass to the ground. And I think Sanders hit that hole, and then the lineman got up and just kind of like just halfway jogged, just went, looked like he was trying to play it off to have no shame about what just happened to his manhood.
the jog of shame, if you will.
Yeah. But you have anything else for this game? I mean, I don't really have too much else to say about this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, in the Eagles running game, you know, whenever they started to get going, you saw the threat of Jalen Hurts running, freezing the linebackers. So we saw some open lanes for Miles Sanders. That's why he had two touchdowns. Both of his touchdowns that he scored, he was untouched, practically untouched. So that kind of goes to show you that, hey, you know, that Eagles run game is going to be dangerous no matter what, even if their offense isn't clicking on all cylinders.
All right, so the next game, the better of the two games, the Chiefs versus Bengals. I was really surprised in terms of, you know, how well the defenses play. Of course, you know, when you're in the playoffs, the defenses are usually playing a little bit better, a little more tightened up, but it was a really good game. It sucked how it ended. But that's not the reason why the Bengals lost the game, because you had plenty of opportunities to win that game before that moment.
Burrow, not one singular play.
Yep.
You know, loses or wins a game.
Yeah. Burrow, he was average, if you want to be real about it. I mean, his EPA per play was 0.01, so just barely above zero. So, <Yeah. laughs> and you know, just on the other side, Mahomes with the high ankle sprain, he outplayed him. Like, he showed everybody why he's the best quarterback in the league, why he's probably going to be the MVP of the league this year again. I mean, at one point, he only had three healthy wide receivers. He had Sky Moore, who they haven't really been playing. They had MVS, who was been asked the whole playoffs up until when the moment was called for him to show up, and he showed up somehow. Yeah. And who was the other one?
It was Marcus Kemp.
Yes, Marcus Kemp, who is a special teams guru.
Had a big catch in the fourth quarter, third or fourth.
He did. So yeah, with that ragtag, and he still found a way to make it happen. You know, salute to the Chiefs, man, for gutting that one out, especially with their run game. Didn't do anything at all. Like, neither one of the run games did anything.
Yeah, and Mahomes, you know, just kind of piggyback on this point, Mahomes outplayed Burrow with basically, you know, with significantly less talent.
Yeah.
Significantly less talent. Like, Burrow had all those weapons at his disposal, and he underperformed. He threw two interceptions. One was in the fourth quarter with, like, 5 minutes left on a 2nd-and-3 against a rookie. They had a nice tip drill, which is a, you know, phenomenal play by that rookie on T. Higgins 1-on-1. Yep. So, but Burt Burrow, you know, he did not play up to the standard that everybody, you know, basically created for him when, you know, he had the nice playoff run last year and had all the success this year and beat Buffalo last week or a couple weeks ago. He didn't play up to standard. And
yep.
And I hadn't really seen too many in the media talking about his performance and his turnovers. And, you know, they don't keep the same energy with, you know, Josh Allen's turnovers and Joe Burrow's turnovers. And so that's just another thing that I observe from the sports media industrial complex. You know, they don't keep the same energy with these turnovers. But you know, it was all about Mahomes and putting the team on his back. And that's what he did. And He's gonna have to do a lot more of that in the Super Bowl, because we don't know the injury statuses of Kadarius Toney, Juju, and Mecole Hardman, who basically re-injured himself coming back from an injury that had plagued him for like the last 8 weeks, so eight or 9 weeks. So we'll have to see, you know, what happens, you know, the week of the Super Bowl and all the practice, and see if these guys are going to be active on game day.
Yeah, I know one thing that was evident in terms of the Bengals. I know the Bengals O-line was beat up. Still no excuse. They had P. Ron played double the snaps Mixon did. You know, again, what we've seen this through the course of the last 2 years, that the Bengals trust P. Ron in terms of pass coverage and some of those special moments when they on, you know, third and medium, third and long, he's in there, not Mixon. So I know people were like, is Mixon hurt? No, Mixon's not hurt. They just like P. Ron more in those situations to help pass block. So
having P. Ryan in on third down is why they lost the Super Bowl last year. I mean, to stick to that.
Yep. No, it's not. What was that? 4th-and-4 or whatever?
It was 4th-and-1. And
yeah, Mixon 4th-and-1.
Mixon had a pretty decent game up until that point, and they just subbed him out for P. Ryan, and P. Ryan got stuffed. I will always go back to that point. That's why they lost the Super Bowl, because they keep putting P. Ryan in on third downs.
Yeah, they outsmarted.
Can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, but this game, like we said before, it wasn't Osai's fault why they lost that game. Yes, it was a mistake, but that's not the reason why they lost that game. So
yeah, try again next year. I feel real bad for him. He was, you know, and the thing is, like, I was, a little part of me was happy the Bengals lost because they had been talking and being disrespectful towards Mahomes and Kansas City all week. And basically saying, we own the Chiefs. They've beaten them three times. That's great and everything. But you got to beat them again. You got to do it again. But, you know, I felt real bad for Osai because, you know, he was, like, distraught after you know, I think he sat on the bench by himself for a while until one of his teammates came over and basically picked him up. So, and that was good to see. But, yeah,
And it sucks because it overshadowed how good he was during the game, man. Like, he was making a lot of plays,
I think he had, like, you know, a lot of tackles for loss, pressures. Like, he was all over. He was cooking. He was, you know, basically wreaking havoc up there. So, but it's unfortunate. He's a young kid. I think he's 22, right? 22, 23. So
he went to UT.
Yeah. So he'll be fine. It's something he can learn from and, you know, make him better in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know the Bengals, they're going to have some interesting cap situation, you know, trying to figure out if they're going to bring Mixon back. I know they've already talked about getting the Burrow extension discussions underway. They got Higgins that's looming, what they got to do with him. A lot of defensive players are probably not going to be back because of the cap constrictions they're probably going to have this coming offseason. So it should be interesting how we see this Bengals team, you know, looking forward to next year and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. But speaking of, in the spirit of that, we'll go ahead and get kicked off with some of the news and notes that we saw over the last couple of days, you know, coming out of these conference championship games. Obviously, we talked about Brock Purdy. He's going to be out 9 to 12 months due to that Tommy John surgery. And, you know, on top of that, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch came out today and said that it's pretty unlikely that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be back with the team. So they got question marks at quarterback. Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They traded up all those picks to get Trey Lance, you know, who hopefully should be good to go at the beginning of the season after breaking his leg. But we'll see how that unfolds. Maybe they sign a veteran in free agency to kind of get them quarterback depth. But we'll see how that goes. And then obviously the biggest news of the day was Tom Brady finally retiring for good. We'll see if it's actually for good. Seems like it's for good based on, you know, how, you know, his demeanor in the video. He just kind of shot a video, just didn't leave it up to any speculation. He said, hey, straight up, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm retiring for good. So, but called it a career, 23 years, greatest quarterback of all time. Don't think we need to debate that any further. So, Tom Brady retires. So we'll see what happens with Tampa Bay and what they do with the quarterbacks, you know, this offseason. Sean Payton traded to the Broncos. So he's going to be coaching there. He's going to be making $17-20 million a year. I think it's a 5-year deal. That he's there. So him and Russell Wilson are tied together for, you know, at least, I mean, on paper it says 5 years, but, you know, we'll see what happens. They're basically looking at, like, you know, three ones and a couple of twos to get Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. So they don't have any draft picks to build around. The roster as is going to have to get it done with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. And so that's a lot to ask. I don't think Russell Wilson is completely washed. I know the bottom fell out last year, but they still have weapons. They still have Jerry Jeudy. They still have Cortland Sutton. They still have
Tim Patrick come back.
Tim Patrick's coming back off the ACL injury. They still have Greg Dulcich, who flashed as a rookie tight end. Hopefully, Javonte Williams, you know, makes his recovery from that ACL injury. So they still have some pieces on offense that can help out. So we'll see how that goes. And then D'Amico Ryan signed a 6-year deal to coach the Houston Texans, defensive coordinator from the 49ers. It's coming home. So yeah, I guess that's where he wanted to be. He's got 6 years to do his thing there. So he's got a little bit of a runway to basically build and mold the roster the way he wants to. Hopefully they give him the time. because they've been really, really impatient with black head coaches there over the last couple of years with David Culley and Lovie Smith. who didn't do terrible jobs, right? They didn't do awful jobs there. I mean, they were, I mean, obviously the Texans were a talent deficient roster, but they still competed. They still played really, really hard for them and made some games interesting. So, you know, hopefully again, you know, D'Amico Ryans has more time to build out the roster that he wants. And then we'll see what happens there in Houston.
What do you think that they should do in terms of the quarterback position? So do you think D'Amico should go, you know, quarterback at 2 and then you just take best player available at 12? Or do you go get a veteran like Jimmy G, David Carr, somebody of that ilk, to kind of, I don't know what they're going to do, because I don't think the roster is ready to try to compete. So I don't see the point of that. But again, that's an option. Or do you, you know, ride it out with Davis Mills?
I don't know if Davis Mills showed enough to really gain any confidence in whoever's coming in to coach the team now. So I think they should go quarterback at 2. I think that's the operative move. New head coach. He gets to pick his quarterback, yep. And there's going to be plenty at the top to choose from this year with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and potentially Will Levis. But I think this is probably a good time to go quarterback, unless, hey, these quarterback prospects aren't what they cracked up to be, and maybe he has a plan to suck again this year to maybe get Caleb Williams next year. So that's another possibility, but. We'll see how they compete this year, and we'll see how they go in the draft. But I think they should go quarterback.
Me too. I don't think they should waste their time with one of these veterans, because, like I said, their roster is not – they're not a quarterback away from competing. You need to go get the person that you want to, you know, your signature signing in terms of, like, this is the guy that's tied to my tenure, the beginning of my tenure in Houston.
Yeah, big first draft choice for D'Amico Ryans. Big decision.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a D lineman, or it's going to be a quarterback, in my opinion. So, yeah.
And then, you know, news out of Dallas. Kellen Moore got let go. So now that means Mike McCarthy is going to be calling plays. I don't know how to feel about that, honestly. I know the offense needed a change. I know Kellen for, you know, curling Moore, four curls, Kellen Moore. I knew it was time to make a move there, but with McCarthy calling plays, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll bring somebody else in and take some of that pressure off of him, but we'll see how it all unfolds. And then Kellen Moore is taking the Chargers job. So, you know, Kellen Moore, for all his, you know, failures, and he can design the shit out of a play. Doesn't always tap into that bag as consistently as he needs to. But when he does design some plays, I mean, he's like, oh shit, okay, Kellen, you know.
Yeah.
He does his thing every now and then. So, and he's got Justin Herbert, a young quarterback, to work with a strong arm, laser over an arm, pretty decent weapons. And so it's a good fit. I'd say it's a good fit for them in Los Angeles.
So real quick about the Cowboys OC spot that's open. I've heard a couple of names that might be filling that role. One of them that's actually on the staff as a, I don't know if like a consultant or a quality control guy, is Brian Schottenheimer. I know you know that name from Seattle. When he used the OC there. Oh man, when I heard that name, I was like, no. Sorry. I don't want that.
Out of here. With
that. Yeah, I don't want that. a couple other names I've heard is Ben McAdoo.
No.
Yeah.
These are people that have been in Dallas. Like, this is that's the problem with the Cowboys. Like, you know, what's funny is that it is more likely for them to choose somebody in-house than for them to bring in somebody from out of house, so to
speak.
So yeah. They never bring in outside guys. That's not their thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of those two guys, if it's Schottenheimer or Ben McAdoo. It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean McAdoo, I think he's the OC at Carolina, but again, I know there was a time when you know, when McCarthy got the job, I know his name was kind of linked to Dallas at some point, even though he's ended up sticking with Kellen. But let's try to find some new blood, bro. Like, we've seen these old guys. We've seen these guys. We've seen enough.
Exactly.
Get somebody new, man.
Exactly, man. That's the problem, though. That's the problem in Dallas. And it's not going to change until, you know, ownership changes hands or Jerry fires himself.
And you know that's not happening.
That's not happening. So guess what? It's not changing.
Yeah.
It is not changing. And then just kind of rounding out some of the news, Justin Fields got the vote of confidence from the owner that he's the guy and they're going to build around him. Well, I mean, no shit, right? I mean, that's the best thing to do. Like, I don't even know why they even needed to announce that, to be quite honest. It was ludicrous for them to even consider trading Fields and then taking a quarterback. Like, it would have been ludicrous. And so you get Justin Fields' weapons, a guy with that arm talent, he did some good things this year. He still has a ways to go in other areas, but he did some good things this year, made a lot of plays. So they get some talent around him, get another couple of receivers. Draft them high, not get those undrafted free agents. I think they had like seven after the 2022 draft. They had like seven undrafted free agents, and they reached for Bayless Jones, who had 41 offensive snaps or something. It was something low. It was ridiculously low. He didn't wasn't even used. So get him some weapons and watch him flourish. Watch him take a leap. Watch him take that third year leap. And then after he takes a third year leap, people are gonna be like, oh yeah, Justin Fields is good after all. Well, no shit. If you give him weapons, look what happens. Yeah. And then the last thing, Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just want this story to go away. I want it to go away. Like, all this waffling and all this stuff. Like, just make up your mind and just move on. Right. I think the whole him and Green Bay has run its course. Just move on.
Yeah.
Just move on. That's my thought here. I don't know what I don't know if you're in lockstep, but they just need to move forward.
No, I'm in the same boat as you, man. Like, just go and follow your mentor that you love and hate at the same time. Go to New York like he did and try to figure out there, man. Like, I'm tired of the attention that you always have to seek to have. Oh, they're making decisions without me there. That's interesting. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they are. What do you mean?
The most important conversations happen when you're not in the room sometimes, dummy.
It's not always about you, bro. Come on. And this is on the, like, the outset of you just having, like, your worst quarterback season and who knows how long. Real life in fantasy. Yeah. Yeah, bro. So
you got swept by the Detroit Lions this year. So, I mean, like, come on.
I understand you're paying you, but come on. All right. You know, in between the championship games and the Super Bowl, we got the one thing that the fantasy community loves to, you know, get their blood going in terms of getting during the offseason is the Senior Bowl. A lot of analysts right now with a lot of NFL personnel are down at the Senior Bowl in Alabama right now, enjoying the sun while we're in the cold. But you know, if you go on Twitter right now, you'll see people, you know, going crazy over one play and having all these comparisons that you didn't hear during the season. So, it's that time of the year when you start hearing names that you probably didn't hear during the course of the college football season that you're hearing now. And, you know, for good or for bad, you're hearing those names. So we just wanted to touch on a few names that we've been hearing and a few names that we're interested in, you know, getting that we want to talk about real quick in terms of, you know, just kind of putting it in your ear and getting ready for whenever those rookie drafts are happening or, you know, right before we have the combine in a few weeks. So the first name I want to talk about is Xavier Hutchinson, wide receiver from Iowa State. He's a guy that people have been talking about right now. He's about 6'1", over 200 pounds, good size. I know during the season, he was pretty much their go-to guy. I think he averaged like 9-10 catches a game. It was just ridiculous amount of catches. I know whenever I was looking on Prize Picks and betting him, he was always 8.5, 9.5 receptions. You go over and he still, you pick more and he goes over. Like, he was 10, 11, 12 receptions. He was the guy. He was a wide receiver that broke out his senior season, his third year of actually being a full-time starter, which is usually late for some of these people. They like to see the players that they really want to go after that break out, you know, during their sophomore year or their first or second season. Somewhere when they're young into college, they want to see him break out. But overall, I think he's a good player. He's a good separator. No matter if he was outside or in the slot, he had almost 34% target share this past year, 161 targets. He was third in receptions, 8 in yards in the nation. So, I mean, overall, I think he had a pretty good season, really good season this past year. And right now, I know they've been talking about he's looked pretty decent. He's looked the part down in Mobile right now. So that's one guy I'm thinking about.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big guy, you know, over 210 pounds, right? I think what his measurables are. So, and then back to back seasons of over 1,000 yards. So, I think a guy like, you know, a guy that productive, there's definitely a place for him. There's definitely a place for him in the league. And, you know, he's really, really good at getting open and commanding targets at a high rate, at a high clip. That's going to get you drafted pretty high. Day two, he's definitely a day two guy. But if he has, you know, a strong showing in the Senior Bowl, and maybe, you know, he runs well I don't know if he's going to the combine or maybe his pro day, but if he has, you know, good testing numbers, then he may creep into that day one, but we'll see.
And the second guy I want to talk about is Rashee Rice, wide receiver from SMU, Dallas, Texas.
Also
6 foot, over 200 pounds. He had his breakout season this past year, also his senior year. This was a guy, and you know, that kind of prolific SMU offense, and he was the guy. He was always lined up all over the field. He had good long speed. He could make people miss if they you know, gave him the ball quick and allow him to, you know, work. But the problem with him is that he had an issue with drops. You would see him drop the ball in timely spots or just a little more often that you would want to see from someone that's, you know, being projected to possibly the end of the first round, beginning of the second round for sure. So, and this is a wide receiver also that he was pretty much tops in the nation in terms of yards. He was third in yards, fifth in receptions. So another wide receiver that was really dominant his senior season.
Yeah. Little local product. I'm sure that's, I'm sure this guy is like on the Cowboys fans wish list of wide receivers to draft, because I've been seeing on Twitter there's been a lot of names been thrown out of, you know, who should we draft in the first round or second round. I saw names like Jalin Hyatt. I see names like Zay Flowers. I see names like obviously Rashee Rice. So there's a lot of guys out there that, and you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds, pretty decent size, fast. So, you know, we can't go wrong with some of these guys, but we'll see how it all plays out.
You got any names for us?
Yeah, there's one guy in particular. We talked about it pre-show, wide receiver from Stanford. I think his name is
Michael Wilson, I think you said.
Michael Wilson. I think he's been making a play for the top receiver at the Senior Bowl day two. He's, you know, there. I saw a lot of videos so far, and he's been, you know, beating man coverage. He's been, you know, making a lot of acrobatic catches and getting open and showing his ass. And so we'll see if it translates to the actual game this weekend at the Senior Bowl. But that's one guy that that's kind of catching, you know, some people by surprise, if you will.
Yeah, I know a couple of names that I didn't want to name. I would have named, but I mean, I wanted to name Tajay Sharp, but I mean, people have been talking about him before. Tajay Spears, yes, running back from Tulane. I mean, I've been talking, not on here, but in the Discord about him probably since October, November, in terms of how good he is. And like they said, at the Senior Bowl, he's been killing it. The only downside to him is that he has bad knees that's been showing up in his medical. So
a running back with bad knees, it's never a good thing.
Never. Another person they've been hyping up is Jaden Reed, from the wide receiver from Michigan State. They've been really pumping this guy up, saying he's pretty much been the best wide receiver out there. If it hasn't been the BYU wide receiver that came out of nowhere, Jaden Reed. somebody on Twitter compared him to Antonio Brown. I'm just like, bro, you gotta relax. Like, this is gotta relax, man.
Yeah, I understand you're excited. Go out on over their skis with all these comparisons, man. Like, just
yeah.
I know it's good to do that, but like, we gotta chill. Sometimes we gotta chill.
Yeah. Just take in what you're seeing, and you know, take it for what it is. Don't start putting them against pretty much a Hall of Famer wide receiver if they decide to induct him. I know he wilded out his last year in the league, but he has the numbers. So,
you know, I was literally thinking about that. This is a little bit of a sidebar, but I was literally thinking about Antonio Brown, because I saw a graphic today, I think on Twitter, where, you know, over the last 10 years, the overall wide receiver one, they showed all the wide receiver ones over the last 10 years since 2013. Mm-hmm. It was Demaryius Thomas in 2013. And then from 2014 to 2017 was Antonio Brown. He was the wide receiver one overall.
Firmly,
far and away. And I think he barely missed wide receiver one overall in 2018 by like a couple slots, and he had 15 touchdowns that year. Yeah. So like the run that he went on for those 4 or 5 years is like historical. It's like something that we've never seen before. Like, yeah. I think the only guy to really compare it to is Jerry Rice. And so I don't know. I feel like he should be a Hall of Famer based on what he did, but all that off the field stuff, you know that's what they like to do. They like to penalize people for off the field stuff. And he's been wilding out ever since he left the Bucks. So yeah. I mean, he was wilding out before that, kind of, you know, briefly here and there, when he kind of forced his way out of the Raiders, forced his way out of Oakland at the time. And then, you know, had only played one game for New England, and then, you know, played a little bit for the Bucks, but he's been wilding out. So I don't know. That was just one thing I was thinking about. I was like, is he? I think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's got
Hall of Fame numbers, right?
Yeah.
If without the antics, I think it's pretty easy. I think it's a pretty easy one.
But in the last thing I want to talk about, the Senior Bowl, is the quarterbacks. I mean, pretty much what I've heard consensus is that the quarterbacks are not really up to par. So leave them in your free agent pool. But the one thing that I know we've seen people have issue with is Will Levis, a quarterback that's supposed to be one of these top guys in this coming draft. I know a lot of people are kind of soured on him a lot in terms of, you know, just the play that he had this season. And then the fact that he didn't show up to either of these bowl games, I mean, these exhibition games for people trying to put their stamp or put their resume on tape. He decided not to show up to either one, and a lot of these scouts and a lot of these personnel from these NFL teams are really soured and thought it was a bad look for him not to show up and put some on wax, since the whole complaint this whole year was, oh, well, he didn't have any help with his wide receivers or his running backs or this and that. And like, well, you could have came out here and at least show your tools and, you know, put your resume out there in front of all these people, and you decided not to. So
it seems like every year, you know, players are making that decision just to, you know, to kind of play it safe, if you will, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think they want them to rely on the tape that they've already seen, and then they can just measure and they can just throw a little bit, but not do anything crazy. I think it could have varying effects depending on the prospect, depending on how high it's supposed to go or whatever the case is. So, you know, it just whatever works for that player, whatever works for that prospect. And how they're being advised, you know. But I get your point. I mean, if you got opportunities, you got all these, you know, these pro scouts, these NFL guys, in, you know, in the vicinity, you want to show out for them. Your first inclination would be to show out for them, but you know, not everybody thinks that way.
I know he was dealing with a toe injury that he had been dealing with pretty much half the season, and that was the reason why he's not participating, but. Why didn't you show up? Like, why aren't you even in Alabama? Like, you don't even have to throw the ball. Like,
you can talk to people.
Why are you not even there?
You know, you can interview with people, or just get you know, have, you know, pick some people's brains and just have combos, right?
Bro, have people get to know you. Why are you not there? Yeah. I think that was miscalculated on that part. But hey, I'm not the 6'3" quarterback that can make millions and millions of dollars going top of the draft. So
yeah,
people might know better than me. I'm just a guy on the mic. So all right. And the last thing is, we just want to kind of briefly touch on Super Bowl, you know, props and this and that before we really dive in next week. I know next week we're going to really talk about the Super Bowl and the, you know, the litany of props that you can possibly, you know, bet on. Will be,
it'll be like a prop show.
Yeah, basically.
It'll be a prop show like we did last year. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of the props that I thought they were really interesting, that I've already locked in, is the Pat Mahomes over 24.5 completions on Prize Picks. You can find these in a lot of these sports books right now. They have, majority of them have money going to the over 24.5. And then some of them already have it at 25.5, where it's not even leaning over or under. It's kind of just in between. So I think 24.5 over completions is a great number for Mahomes. I know last week he hit that number, even with the, you know, the lack of weapons he had for a half of a game, he still was able to hit that number on Prize Picks. And the other one that I like on Prize Picks, and I believe this one's also an Underdog, is Quez Watkins under 1.5 receptions on Prize Picks and Underdog. He smashed these both the playoff weeks that the Eagles have played. He's only had one target in the two games, no catches. So I don't imagine him being used. I mean, he would be like the sixth option. So for whatever reason, they keep putting this line up there, I'm going to take the under. Thank you. It's free money.
Keep smashing the under.
And Vegas, the odds have it really weighted to the under also on top of that. So those are two props that I'm early looking at, I've already locked in, I like.
Yeah, a couple ones that I'm looking at are both on the Chiefs side. One is Jerick McKinnon over 22.5 receiving yards. I think they're going to be forced to lean on the other weapons, as you know they may have trouble running the ball with Pacheco. I know the Eagles' run defense has been pretty stout in the playoffs so far, but you know McKinnon was a weapon out of the backfield, you know, to close the regular season. I know we haven't really seen much from him in the playoffs. They haven't really needed him to be that guy because they've kind of held leads for the most part in these games, and they haven't really had to, you know, to throw to the backs. But I think in this game where they have another high powered offense on the other side, I think they'll be leaning a lot more on the passing game, and McKinnon will get a lot of work out of the backfield. And I think his reception total is only 3. I think he's going to hit that too. And so I'd like both of these early leans to both of these. And then the next one that I have, the last one that I have, just kind of an early lean, is Travis Kelce receptions at 7. I wish it was at 6.5, but he's gotten, you know, it seems like he gets like 7 almost every game. And he has 21 total catches in the playoffs so far in 2 games. So he had 14 in the first game against Jacksonville and 7 against Cincinnati. So I would prefer that line to be 6.5, but 7, I think he can get 8 catches, which is pretty easy for Kelce. He's going to be the primary focus. And he seems to get open a lot. Always finds a way to get open. That's the beauty of the Andy Reid offense, is, you know, they scheme their best players open, and whatever reason, you know who's getting the ball. But Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have that symbiotic relationship where they're gonna always find a way. And so I like that, kind of like that, the Travis Kelce reception number.
Yep. I do like those. So I'm definitely going to take a look at those when we get off of here. But we are at the end of the show, so always a reminder, just want to make sure that y'all type into that All Gas newsletter that we drop every Friday at 7:01. You can find that link on Destination Devi on Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter at Fantasy Genes, that's GENES. And you know, when you click the link, also subscribe to it, man. We got a lot of good information on there. I know we're about to drop a lot of, you know, rookie stuff, getting ready for this combine, getting ready for your rookie draft. So really tap into a lot of the college stuff that we're going about to be putting out on those newsletters. Again, you can find our official Twitter handle at Off the Line FF. Ike, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope. No, just everything. I echo everything Gene said. Just keep a lookout for the All Gas newsletter. Keep tapping into the show and keep tapping into Destination Devin and everything that we're doing.
Yeah, man. And again, like we said, next week is going to be just a Super Bowl prop show. Maybe we even have somebody on here joining us to, you know, talk everything Super Bowl props, man. So let's get ready for that. Until then, we'll holler at y'all. Y'all enjoy the Senior Bowl. Enjoy all the content that's coming in between all that. You know, just getting ready to prepare yourself for the combine. So until then, we'll holler at y'all.
Peace out.